I'm a homeschooler. And my age is 6. My name Evelina. And to tell the truth, I don't like the idea of school. When people say, "Why aren't you in school?" to me, I get very angry. Furious indeed. So, welcome to Radio Free School.
Sydney, what do you say to people who say, "How come you're not at school today?" How do you feel?
Well, nobody really asked me that. Some say, "Do you have a day off school?" and stuff like that, but that's all they really say.
Mm-hmm. But how do you feel when they ask you that?
I kind of feel a little embarrassed, but...
Okay.
Indigo, can I have a washcloth?
Don't have any water.
Okay, 1 minute.
What are some of the things that you like about homeschooling, like being a homeschooler, not having to go to school?
Glad.
Sydney, what are some of the things?
Well, I don't have to be forced to do stuff. Like, I take violin and ballet, so it's fun. And I probably wouldn't be able to take violin if I went to school, because I actually just took my lesson today, this morning.
Okay. So you get a lot of free time.
My lesson's on Monday.
And, well, we don't really know.
Is there something that you don't like about homeschooling?
Yeah, well, some people, like, get all surprised when I say that I'm homeschooled, and...
You don't like that?
I'm homeschooled, too.
I know you are.
Yeah, and I am, too.
Thank you, Sydney. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Evelyn.
And you're playing at the piano?
Yeah. Get her off.
It's a school day, and how come you're not in school today?
Well, I am a homeschooler.
I see. So what do you like about being a homeschooler?
Well, I like to do chemistry. Mm-hmm. I like to read about astronomy. I like to read Narnia.
Yeah? Anything else?
Well, I love to, like, paint.
Mm-hmm.
I love learn about writing, writing mathematical things.
Okay.
So on.
What do you want to interview about?
Well, about homeschooling.
No, no,
okay, I just had a few questions. You can just introduce yourself as well.
Okay. Hi, my name's Stoney. And if you ask me, the thing about homeschooling is... Actually, I should start with introducing myself. What good am I? Chips in the background. Oh.
Chips in the background.
Well,
okay.
Luna!
That's okay.
Well,
you can just say, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to say,
okay.
When people ask to see you out of school and they say to you, how come you're not at school today? What does that make you feel?
I say, I homeschool. That's really all I say.
That's what I say too.
What do you like about homeschooling? What are the advantages?
Well, it's just that I don't go to school because, you know, like you sit in the classroom with like 30 kids. It was only 1:30. Like,
so
1, 2, 3, 30.
So you like the freedom then?
Yeah, I like the freedom of like not having to... Not having to do everything that the teacher says. It's more independent.
Okay, that's good. Is there anything that you maybe don't like about homeschooling?
Uncle!
Really, no, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
It's just totally great.
Truly nothing.
All
like,
right.
The truth is really nothing. Except a little arguing with you know who, my mother.
A bit of comfort.
It's perfect.
Okay. Thanks, Stoney.
First, he was a homeschooler. Then
okay, hang on a second. Who are you talking about?
Benjamin Banneker!
And who is Benjamin Banneker?
His grandma was from England, and then he had three children, and those three children married. And then one of the oldest child...
Is he an American?
Yes.
Okay.
But his mother is an English woman. But his grandma, right?
Okay.
His grandmother is an English woman. Like,
and he was...
And his grandfather was a slave, but he died before Benjamin was born.
Okay.
But the grandma lived until he was growing up.
So who was Benjamin Banneker? What did he do? What did he contribute?
An astronomer.
Okay, and you also helped. What did he help? He did help to design a building, right? He helped to design
the
capital city.
The capital city
of the states, which is Washington,
states.
Right?
Yeah, Washington. And there's George Washington.
And
Evelina.
Okay.
Does Kevin have a safety helmet?
No.
Okay, so now was he a homeschool? He was. When did he go to school? When did he start going to school?
When he was older.
Like 11.
Like 11, yeah.
So who taught him then?
Well, a Quaker.
Uh-huh. And before that, who taught him when he was a little boy?
Who
taught him to read?
His grandma.
Okay. She taught him, she helped him learn different things.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Maria Mitchell?
Maria Mitchell, she was like a homeschooler, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I think, maybe she became a school child.
Mm-hmm. Later.
Later she became a school child.
Who taught her then?
Well, her father.
And she was also
an astronomer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Benjamin Banneker and Maria Mitchell, both astronomers of early America, were homeschooled till around age 11.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free, and that's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for the crimes, even if we make a mistake sometimes. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
I'm Bronwyn McKay.
And how old are you, Bronwyn?
3.
Okay, and you want to tell us a story that you've written. Okay, can we go?
Baby Will was returning to the A&P, and he went to the shark's house and knocked on the door, and the shark came out and gulped him all up, and he was never seen again. My name Mark will tell you, when the moon was full, you've seen Baby Will trying to get home, but Baby Will never reached the other side.
Oh, well, this is a very sad story, isn't it?
And then Baby Fish comes and got the shark's tummy open, but then the shark comes and gobbles him all up, and he was never seen again.
He was never seen again?
No.
Hmm.
And then Baby Fish, hey, yeah, and I said, and then Baby Fish gets out of the with the water of Baby Whale, and then they go out, but then the shark comes out and gobbles them all up, and he was never seen again.
Do you have any other stories?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Baby Whale came out and took him home, and then put his baby sister to bed.
Okay.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Hi, Madeline. You went to see the Hobbit play the other day. Tell me about it.
Well, trolls were planning to sit on the dwarves.
They were planning to do what? Can you speak louder?
They were pretending to sit on the dwarves.
Oh.
And squash them into jelly.
What were they going to do with them?
Eat them.
Oh, no. And did they?
No.
No.
They don't get.
So what happened to them? What happened to the dwarves?
They turn into stone at morning.
Well, they turn the trolls into... Oh. So the dwarves got away then, I guess. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me something more about the Hobbit? Who is the Hobbit? What's his name?
Bilbo Baggins.
Okay. What's he doing? Where was he going? With the dwarves?
Steal the treasure.
Ah. To steal the treasure?
It's Smaug's story.
Who's Smaug?
From the dwarves. Smaug is a dragon.
Okay. And he stole the treasure from the dwarves. Mm-hmm. So they had to go and get it back. So what else did you like about, was it scary, the play?
No. It wasn't even scary a bit.
Really? Did it make it, can you tell me a bit more about it?
Well, go up. There was goblins.
Mm-hmm.
And the goblins like to kill people.
Uh-huh.
And eat horses.
Hmm. So did you read the story as well? Have you read the book?
Yes.
So So do you think that the play was as good as the book, or was the book better than the play?
I'll be big. The book was better than the play.
Why?
Because the books are longer. Okay. The books are longer.
Ah,
but you had Gollum. No, look what. Well, Gollum has a little bow. Gollum likes riddles.
Yeah.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU. And there's also one that Bilbo made. Bilbo has to make some too.
Okay.
If he doesn't answer them, Gollum's riddles, then he eats them. But if he asks a riddle and Gollum can't answer, then...
Who is this Gollum?
Gollum's like this thing from upper world, really, but he comes into the goblin tunnels because he's driven away, and then he slinks down into the dark tunnels.
Uh-huh.
And he's found a magic ring that's been lying in the dark for a long time. Indigo, my friend, thinks it falls out of someone's pocket, but that's not true. It goes into someone's pocket. Bilbo finds it, puts it into his pocket.
It's magic.
It's magic, yeah. And it makes you invisible. Uh-huh. Only in full sunlight can you be seen. That would be only by your shadow.
Oh, okay. So do you have any more riddles you would like to share?
Yes. I would find one in my mind. What shall I ask? Well, Bilbo says, what have I got in my pocket? And it was a box with neither a key, hinges, or lid, but yet golden treasure inside his head.
Mm.
And that is one that Bilbo asks.
Okay.
It's very funny how he says, what have I got in my pocket? Because that's not really a genuine riddle, according to the ancient law.
Okay.
It's funny. But to Gollum it sounds like a riddle, so luckily, and Gollum couldn't guess it until he found that his ring was gone. Which wasn't really his ring.
Okay.
It was made by a wicked person. Very, very wicked.
Yeah. Do you have another riddle?
An eye and a blue face saw an eye and a green face, said the eye and the green face. This eye is like to this eye, only in high place, not in low place. It's a very fun one.
Very mysterious. So you
and
like
I know it. I can tell you the answer when Wednesday comes.
Okay.
But I won't tell you it today.
This thing all things devours. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers. Gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal. Slays king, ruins town, and beats high mountain down. Poor Bilbo. He sat in the dark thinking of all the horrible names of all the giants and ogres he had ever heard told of in tales, but not one of them had done all these things. He had a feeling that the answer was quite different and that he ought to know it, but he could not think of it. He began to get frightened, and that's bad for thinking. Gollum began to get out of his boat. He flapped into the water and paddled to the bank. Bilbo could see his eyes coming towards him. His tongue seemed to stick in his mouth. He wanted to shout out, give me more time, give me time. But all that came out with a sudden squeal was, time, time! Bilbo was saved by pure luck. That, of course, was the answer. Gollum was disappointed once more. And now he was getting angry and also tired of the game. It had made him very hungry indeed. This time he did not go back to the boat. He sat down in the dark by Bilbo. That made the hobbit most dreadfully uncomfortable and scattered his wits. It's got to ask us a question, my precious. Yes, yes, yes. Just one more question to guess. Yes, yes, said Gollum. But Bilbo simply could not think of any question with that nasty, wet, cold thing sitting next to him and pawing him and poking him. He scratched himself. He pinched himself. Still, he could not think of anything. Ask us, ask us, said Gollum. Bilbo pinched himself and slapped himself. He gripped on his little sword, even felt in his pocket with his other hand. There he found a ring he had picked up in the passage and forgotten about. "What have I got in my pocket?" he said aloud. He was talking to himself. The Gollum thought it was a riddle, and he was frightfully upset. "Not fair! Not fair!" he hissed. "It isn't fair, my precious. Is it? Not fair, is it? To ask us what it's got in his nasty little pockets?" Bilbo, seeing what had happened and having nothing better to ask, stuck to his question. "What have I got in my pocket?" he said louder. "S-s-s-s-s-s," hissed Gollum. "He must give us 3 guesses, is he, my precious? 3 guesses, is?" "Very well, guess away," said Bilbo. "Hatties," said Gollum. "Wrong," said Bilbo. But luckily just taken his hand out again. "Guess again." "S-s-s-s-s," said Gollum, more upset than ever. He thought of all the things he kept in his own pockets. Fish bowls, goblin's teeth, wet shells, a bit of bat wing, sharp stone to sharpen his fangs on, and other nasty things. Try to think what other people kept in their pockets. "Knife," he said at last. "Wrong," said Bilbo, who had lost his some time ago. "Last guess." Now Gollum was in a much worse state than when Bilbo had asked him the egg question. He hissed and spluttered and rocked himself backwards and forward and slapped his feet on the floor and wriggled and squirmed, but still he did not dare to waste his last guess. "Come on," said Bilbo, "I'm waiting." He tried to sound bold and cheerful, but he did not feel at all sure how the game was going to end, whether Gollum guessed right or not. "Time's up," he said. "String or nothing," shrieked Gollum, which was not quite fair, working in 2 guesses at once. "Both wrong," cried Bilbo, very much relieved. He jumped at once to his feet, put his back to the nearest wall, and held out his little sword. He knew, of course, that the riddle game was sacred and of immense antiquity, and even wicked creatures were afraid to cheat when they played at it. But he felt he could not trust this slimy thing to keep any promise at a pinch. Any excuse would do for him to slide out of it. And after all, that last question had not been a genuine riddle according to the ancient laws.
Riddles in the Dark. Evelyn, that's your favourite chapter.
What?
Riddles in the Dark.
Oh, Riddles in the Dark.
Gollum.
Gollum, that's my favourite chapter.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
I'm 7 years old.
And what are you going to talk about?
I'm going to be talking about Run, Kevin, Run, which is a Pete Prince book, and Lost in the Barrens, Farley Mowat.
Okay. You want to talk about some Run, Peter, Run, is it what you said?
Run, Kevin, Run.
Oh, Run, Kevin, Run.
And I think I'll start with Run, Kevin, Run.
Okay.
Run, Kevin, Run is about an orphaned boy who ran away, who bumped into a dog named Hobo Jobo. Mm-hmm. Together with Hobo Jobo, his only companion, they suffered through a 2-year journey through forests, fields, and slept only in old train wagons and barns.
So what was Kevin running away from?
His parents, his foster parents.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty sad.
Aunt Lissa and... forget the other one. Aunt Lissa and someone else.
Okay. So how long, you said for 2 years he was running away, was he with his dog?
Yes, he was running away.
So what did he live on then? What did he eat?
He ate scraps and even that.
Mm-hmm. So where is this book, what country is this book based in?
It is based in, I think it's based, not in Afghanistan, Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
I think it's in Amsterdam.
Real?
I doubt that it's in Amsterdam, but that's my best guess. Because uh-huh. I know I've read it, but I haven't read it in quite a while. So
it's not is it a true story then?
No, it's not a true story. Mm-hmm. It's Pete Prince, and I'm reading now Pete Prince The Secret Code, which is actually a very good book.
Okay.
And I have almost the whole Pete Prince series.
Okay, can you tell us a bit about why it's such a good book?
Well, it's such a good book because it tells you, like, it's sort of the diary of a kid who went around, did almost everything on his own, fended for himself, and did that sort of thing. So that's why I like it.
Okay.
Well, I like that I read the whole thing. It was, I think, a 130-page book. It took me about a week. And another thing, just as an just to add, it's about none of the books. It's I read almost in one night. I stayed up by my nightlight and read James and the Jacob Tutu meets the Hooded Fang and a little bit of Jacob Tutu and the Dinosaur.
Jacob Tutu and the Dinosaur. What is this book about?
Well, actually, I'm not doing an interview. I'm doing an interview about Run, Kevin Run, and Lost in the Barrens.
Okay, well then stick to the point then.
Okay.
Anything more you want to say about those books?
Really no. I think that's all I have to say about Run, Kevin Run.
Come on.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Get away, come on.
Who is it by?
It is by Farley Mowat.
Okay.
Well, Lost in the Barrens is sort of spooky. Mm-hmm. And it's really spooky. At one point, Oswin goes with Jamie to a monument, but then something jumps out of a crack. He pulls the rock open, and then they were passing things out. And then suddenly, Oswin, who is at the last bringing stuff into the daylight, and like he saw a ghost, Jamie said, "What?" And it was a human skull.
Ooh.
That's in the book? No. That's in the book, but the movie of Lost in the Barrens, they both go inside, they light a piece of wood, they go inside, they lift up a Viking helmet, and inside it is the skull.
Mm-hmm.
So it's based on the same thing, but they're not exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So I see that you like adventure books then.
Yeah.
This School in Our Lives is a collection of essays by some of the most challenging thinkers in the unschooling movement, compiled in an exciting and inspiring book edited by Canadian Matt Hearn. Contributors include Ivan Illich, John Holt, John Taylor Ghetto, Grace Lelwyn, Susanna Sheffer, among others. This book will interest both readers new to the idea of learning outside the system, as well as those already unschooling, but seeking to renew and reinforce their commitment. Read about why and how people are going against the system. You'll find in the examples of homeschooling as a single parent, debunk once and for all the myth that homeschooling is only for the privileged or those of a specific racial group. This book may even inspire readers to extend these ideas beyond education to include community at large. John Holt said, "Imagine your ideal world and imagine how people would act in it. Now start acting that way right now." And so say we at Radio Free School.
Another very prolific songwriter is a friend of mine in Berkeley, California, by the name of Malvina Reynolds is her name. She's a good songwriter. Well, you know, she writes a song every day before breakfast. And with that kind of output, you can't fail, but this song is about that part of the country out there. Well, maybe here too. That, you know, these hillsides around the Bay Area, they've all been bulldozed and terraced and everything. Well, this song tells it. Little boxes on the hillside. Oh, let me get the song out. Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, all the same. There's a green one
and a pink one, and a blue one, and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all go to the university, and they all get put in boxes, little boxes, all the same. And there's doctors, and there's lawyers, and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martini dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university, and they all get put in boxes, and they all come out the same. And the boys go into business and marry and raise a family, and they all get put in boxes, little boxes, all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.